The Philadelphia Church of God presents The Life and Teachings of Jesus Christ with Stephen Fleury.
Man was put here for a great purpose. God is reproducing himself, and God has given man a mind like God's, only that man's mind is very limited by comparison. And man's mind is a material mind, and God's is spiritual and all-encompassing. God's mind is perfect. Man's mind is so imperfect. But we are told to become perfect, and we could become perfect if we would yield and surrender to God, if we would realize that the all-encompassing mind is that of God, that we need the help of God, and that we can receive so much from God. Even the very mind of God can come into us through the Holy Spirit of God.
We can receive the very mind of God, but as Mr. Armstrong said there, we've got to yield to God. We've got to surrender to God. That clip comes from his Old World Tomorrow program back in the 1960s. What a revelation. Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to The Life and Teachings of Jesus Christ. On this program, we carefully examine the only reliable source there is when it comes to Jesus Christ, his life, and his teachings, and that would be the Holy Bible. I encourage you to get your Bible so that you can read along with the verses that we study on today's show. Today, we're going to be spotlighting this little booklet. It's a quick read, a quick study, a deep study, and it's called God is a family. This is a little known truth, even in the world of Christianity, that God is a family. But when you think of it, it's really pretty obvious, or it should be. The amount of times you see in the New Testament the term Father, and then of course Christ the Son, and then Jesus Christ marrying his bride, the wife that is the church of God, that's a family. Father, son, marriage, wife, children. It's all through the Bible, and this little booklet will take you through them, those verses that bring this out. God is a family. The last two programs that we've taped, we've had the Word was with God. We've taken you back to the very beginning, even before Jesus came in the flesh. And how many denominations today even know about the pre-existence of Jesus Christ, when he was the Word who was with God? And then, like John 1 brings out, and we've gone through this in our previous studies, but the Word was made flesh. God actually came in the flesh. And there's a lot in the New Testament about his 33 and a half years as a human being, God in the flesh. But what about existing for all eternity before he came in the flesh? And of course, even today, he lives. He was resurrected to life after his crucifixion, after 3 days and three nights in the grave, in the tomb. What a story. What a revelation, as I say. The Word. There's an entire vision in that alone. The Word being with God. We're going to review John 1 again, and we'll go through it quickly because, as I say, the last two programs, we've been going through that chapter, John 1. But I'd encourage you, again, get your Bible and read along with me. This relationship between God and the Word, it says in John 1 that the Word was with God. And then, of course, later it says that Christ was in the bosom of the Father. What a relationship. What a family relationship. Think of the oneness. Think of the unity between these two, Father and Son. When Christ came in the flesh, of course, the Word then became the Son of God. Family. This is a quote from Mystery of the Ages, written by Herbert Armstrong. You heard from him in the cold open. It says, the Word and God lived. What did they do? They created. How did they live? What was their lifestyle? They lived the way of their perfect character, the way of outflowing love. Their way of life produced peace, perfect peace, cooperation, happiness, accomplishment. It says this way of life became a law. And yet, when people look at the law of God in the Bible, so many of them sneer at it. They say it's outdated. They say it's been set aside. We don't have to abide by it anymore. God's law, it sums up his way of life. It's the way he lives. God's law is a tremendous blessing. It's holy, it's just, it's good, as Paul said in Romans 7. Notice here in John 1, verse 1, again, we'll go quick. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So this takes you back even before, long before Genesis 1:1, which has to do with the recreation of the physical earth to prepare it for human life. What we're reading about here in John 1 is about the spiritual creation, God reproducing himself. You do read a bit about that in Genesis 1 as well, Genesis 1:26, where it says God set out to create man in his own image and likeness. So whichever beginning you go to, and this one goes back long before Genesis 1, but here you learn about the God family. You learn about the family relationship. You learn that God is reproducing himself. You learn that the Word came in the flesh as Jesus Christ and became the Son of God. The Bible is consistent throughout. Verse 2, it says, he was present originally with God. That's in the Amplified Version. Originally, at the very beginning, the Word was with God. The two were united. They were one. Verse 3, all things were made by or through him, and without him was not anything made that was made, in the God Family Vision book, which we've advertised previously. It says that means somebody was on the other side. Christ is the link to the Father who is doing this work through him. He was on the other side before he came in the flesh. He was with God in heaven above. He was a glorified spirit being. What a relationship. Lang's commentary says, the Son never works of himself, but always as the revealer of the Father and the executor of his will, perfect love, perfect unity. Christ came to carry out the Father's will. He prayed there at the very end when he was going through the greatest trial of his life. He prayed that the Father's will be done, not his own. Total submission, total trust in God. In the God Family Vision book, my father wrote this, this Word, or Christ, the one whose vesture was dipped in blood, is the link between the Father and man. That's why Jesus came to declare the Father. He is the link to God the Father, the head of the family. We go to the Father through Christ. Christ is the door, as it says in John 14. We'll get to that later. What a relationship. The link to God in heaven above. And of course, Christ came in the flesh to show us how to establish contact with God, how to have a relationship with God. He came in the flesh to show us how to live. He left for us an example, a perfect example. And he said, now follow my steps. Philippians 2. Notice verse 4, this is the Apostle Paul writing, and it says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Paul says to the brethren at Philippi, stop looking after your own interests and look on the interests of other people. That's the spirit of God's love. Learn to serve others. Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 20, if you really want to be an exalted leader in God's purpose or plan, then learn to be a servant. He said, learn to be a slave, in fact. Serve the family of God. Serve others. And then verse 5, notice it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So it's just like Mr. Armstrong said in that clip at the start. We actually can have another mind. We can receive God's mind into our mind. It can join together, it says in Romans 8. The Spirit of God, his mind, can join together with our human spirit, which is the human mind. What a link. And how is this brought on or made possible? Through Jesus Christ. Christ coming again in the flesh, in your flesh, 1 John 4 and verse 2. But we've got to let this mind in. God's not going to force his way into our thinking or living. He's not going to force the mind of Christ into us. We have to let it in. We have to invite God into our lives. We have to let God build through us. Otherwise, we're just laboring in vain, like the Psalm says, Psalm 127 and verse 1. Invite God into your life. Let the mind of Christ in. Let God's word dwell in you. That's Colossians 3 and verse 16. So we have a crucial role in this. God gets the credit. It's God's lifestyle. It's his law. It's his righteousness. It's his way of life. But we have to comply. We have to, as Mr. Armstrong said in that first clip, we have to yield to God's way. We have to surrender to God. And when we do, the blessing of having the mind of God guide you, direct you, there's no greater blessing than that. Listen again to Mr. Armstrong. This is actually from a message that he gave to the church, clip two.
Now, God created man with a mind that could receive knowledge, but it was capable of receiving only material knowledge. He would receive knowledge and could acquire knowledge. He had much to learn yet, that's true. But he could learn, he could acquire this knowledge of how to deal with matter, with things. But he was made to need a relationship with God and a relationship with his neighbor, to deal with people and to have a relationship with God, because God made him, because God was going to reproduce himself, and he was made to be born of God.
We were made to be born of God. We were made to need a relationship with God. In and of ourselves, we are incomplete. God is what completes the spiritual creation. God in you. Another mind, as the Bible teaches. 1 Peter 4 and verse 1 says that we have to arm ourselves likewise with the same mind of Christ. That's our armor, spiritually speaking. God in you, in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul says, we have the mind of Christ. There's another translation that says, our thoughts are Christ's thoughts. How does this happen? How do you go through this great transformation, this renewal each day? Romans 12 and verse 2 talks about the renewing of our mind. It talks about being transformed. That's what has to happen. If we're to become God, we have to go through a great transformation where we begin to, because of education, digging into the Bible, the Word of God, Jesus Christ in print, and then being led by the Spirit of God, then we begin to transform into a God being, ultimately, at the resurrection. It's a process. It takes time. We need education. We need knowledge. We need the know-how, as Peter said in 1 Peter 3. And then we need to act on God's truth. We need to use it. We need to be doers of God's word. Coming back to Philippians 2, verse 6, it says in the New Living Translation, though, speaking of Christ, though he was God, he was the Word, remember? Paul understood John 1. He understood about the preexistence of Jesus Christ. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. He was willing to empty himself of all of that glory in order to save you, in order to save me, in order to open the door to God the Father. He is the link, as my father has said. Look at what Jesus was willing to give up. Look at what the Word was willing to give up to come in the flesh as Jesus Christ. That's humbling when you think about how difficult it is for us to even give up petty pleasures to make any kind of sacrifice. Look at Jesus Christ. Look at the sacrifices he made. That's the God family love on display. It wasn't enough for God and Christ to talk about love. They demonstrated it. They showed us this is what God's way of life is really like. Verse 7, it says, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. What a step down. The likeness of humus, as it says in another translation. Just dust of the earth, clay. That's how far of a step down it was for the Word. And yet he did it because of God's love for us, because of God's love for humanity. Verse 8, it says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He humbled himself even to the point of death. How unique this subject is, even in the world of religion. How many churches understand the truth about the preexistent form of Jesus Christ? How many denominations even talk about this? How many preachers get into this subject? The Word with God, and then the Word made flesh, as I say, to dig more deeply into this great vision of family, make sure you request our free booklet, God is a Family, and together with it, we'll give you a free, if you request it, a free one-year subscription to the Trumpet Magazine. Tomorrow's News Today, it gives you all of the most important events in world news today as they relate to Bible prophecy. It sheds the light of Bible prophecy on world events. Jesus told us to watch and pray always. We've got to watch world events and pray always. And then, like I mentioned earlier, arm ourselves with the mind of Christ. We'll be right back.
Get up to date with the day's most important headlines and learn how the Bible is ahead of the news. Watch Stephen Fleury's daily podcast, The Trumpet Daily. Live streamed weekdays at 11 a.m. Central Time, Stephen Fleury explains world events and where they are headed using Bible prophecy. He also hosts interviews with leading authors, journalists, and thinkers. The Bible explains world news happening now. You can see how. Watch The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Fleury. Bring the Bible into the news each weekday with Stephen Fleury at TrumpetDaily.com. Watch on demand at YouTube, Rumble, Roku, or your favorite podcast app.
Now we're only reconciled to God by the death of Christ. The death of Christ does not save anybody. Read that in the fifth chapter of Romans, Romans 5. We're saved by Christ, but through his resurrection, not through his death. But by the death of Christ, we are reconciled to God, and God is the one who has eternal life to give. And so Christ, who paid the penalty in our stead, who is our Savior, has ascended up to the right hand of God in heaven. And there he is as our high priest, as the head of the church, and right there at the very throne of God the Father, in a close relationship. Adam should have had a relationship with God. He didn't. We all should have a relationship with God. And we may in the church and through God's Holy Spirit and through Christ. And Christ is up there to keep a relationship open between us and God and through him. And it is through him, and he's right there at the right hand of God.
Jesus Christ is the link to us and the Father so that we can have a relationship with the Father. Adam, as he says there, should have had a relationship with God. Instead, you see in Genesis 3 that God had to cut mankind off from the tree of life or cut him off from having a relationship with God. And man's been left to go it alone for 6,000 years. Except for the few that have been called out of this sin-drenched world through repentance and faith. And then, like Mr. Armstrong said, you can have a relate if you come into God's church, the begotten family of God, you can have a relationship with God. let's continue our study in John 14. We'll move forward in the Gospel of John and talk more about what it means to abide with God, to be with God, to be just like the Word was with God. John 14, 1, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions," or offices, it should read. "If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." I go to prepare a place for you. In God the Father's house, in these offices, the Greek word for office is mone, and it means dwelling place or abode. God wants for us to dwell with Him, just like the Word dwelt with God, just like Jesus Christ was in the bosom of the Father. It says in verse 3, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, and where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." Christ, He's at the right hand of God, as many scriptures bring out. He's our advocate. He's our high priest. But He's going to return to this earth, as many scriptures bear out as well. He's coming back. He's coming back, as He says here. He plainly stated this to His disciples. The second coming of Jesus Christ, it's real. And we're fast approaching that blessed event. Verse 5, it says, "Thomas said unto Him, Lord, we know not where you go, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." You see, Jesus Christ is the way. He is the door, as it brings out in John 10. He is the link, as we read earlier from my Father's book. He came to show us the way. Now, like it was with the original disciples or apostles, He had to teach them and show them the truth of God and give them a living example to look to and follow. But if you follow Christ, He'll lead you to the Father. He'll lead you to the family. Now, God is the one, as John 6:44 brings out, God is the one who has to initiate the action in this spiritual creation. He makes the call. He does it, though, through Christ. And then we have this perfect example that we can look to, that we can follow. The oneness, the unity that has been there from the beginning, going back to John 1. That's what God wants for us. What a vision. It's a family vision. You look around in our society and you see how upside down the family is, just in the physical realm, the institution of marriage and family. Satan has assaulted these institutions, and that's why they're so twisted and perverted in so many ways, and that's why there's so much division and strife and divorce and delinquent children. And so much unhappiness and so much misery. A lot of times you read a story in the newspaper and you see, more suffering and sorrow in the family sphere than you do out in society. Well, as Herbert Armstrong taught us, the nation is only as strong as its family foundation. The institution of family is the foundational bulwark of any strong or stable society or nation. When the family comes apart, so does the nation, so does society. Satan hates family. He hates the God family. He hates the God family vision. This little booklet, as I say, as you read it, as you study it, just make sure you understand, too, how much of a target these God-ordained institutions are. Satan is the author of division and strife. God is the author of unity and love and cooperation. Verse 20, it says, just skipping down further, it says, "In that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you." Oneness, you see, unity. This is what Christ prayed for at that final Passover in John 17. It says, "He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." Family love, family living, God's way. Verse 23, notice this, it says, "Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words." He's obedient, he's submissive, he yields to God's government. "And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." That word for abode, it's mone, it's the same one for offices in that mansion or that house of God in verse 2. Mone. These are the only two places that that Greek word appears, John 14, verse 2 and verse 23. And it's talking here about God wanting to dwell with us. God wants to abide with you. God wants to build through you, with you. It's a family operation. It's a family business, so to speak. How important is that relationship that you have with God? As my father has said before, great things happen when you are close to God. Great things happen when you're close to your heavenly Father. That's all we have time for on today's show. We appreciate you joining us and hope to see you again next time.
All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. To request the free literature on today's program, visit lifeandteachings.com.